What is really going on, Crypto Savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief out of coinspice.io, back with another episode of the CoinSpice podcast. And this time around, I've got Jeff Pack. He is co-founder and organizer of Deconomy, which, as you might remember, last year happened in South Korea in this big, beautiful hotel. And he got Vitalik Buterin, Roger Ver, Samson Mao, all these heavy hitters in crypto to go there and to debate, and all sorts of stuff happened. It made international headlines. Well, they're doing it again this year in just a couple of weeks, actually. And Vitalik's back. Dr. Nouriel Roubini is going to be there. They're actually going to debate. And this was the conference, if you remember, a year ago, where Vitalik stood up during the Q&A sessions, totally unprovoked, it seemed, and spontaneously just started calling Craig Wright a fraud. Yeah, that's the conference. So it's going to happen again in just a couple of weeks. There's a fascinating backstory to all the stuff that went on last year. An interesting philosophy that Jeff has in approaching how to arrange a conference. And he's just an interesting guy, you know, generally. If all that wasn't enough, and that seriously is the reason I had him on at the end of our taping, at the end of the episode, we started chatting, and he said, hey, you know, I want to get more CoinSpicers there. And he offered half off of the ticket price, which is pretty generous, if you pay in Bitcoin Cash. So, and I swear we did not arrange that. I did not say, come on the show, but you got to give us a deal. I probably should have, but I never said anything like that. I just wanted him on because he's an interesting guy, and obviously the economy rules. So I wanted him on for selfish reasons, but you wind up benefiting. So if you have any interest in going to Seoul, South Korea in a couple of weeks to see some unbelievable guests, by listening to CoinSpice, you get half off if you pay in Bitcoin Cash. There's a couple little steps you got to take. Make sure you mention CoinSpice and make sure you pay in Bitcoin Cash. But without any further ado, a really fun episode. You get a lot of background on the conference. Here is Jeff Pack.
What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the CoinSpice podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at coinspice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
Well, first off, man, I was a giant fan of Deconomy last year. It just kind of blew up in my face. I just saw it everywhere. Everybody was talking about it. It made headlines all over the world, which is pretty incredible, especially considering that it was your first go at it. Before we get into all of that and how that came about and some of the cool stories from it, first off, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you found crypto and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's no such a like big story about how I found out about Bitcoin and stuff. It's just like somebody told me about Bitcoin back in early 13, and it's like, oh, you gotta buy some. So I bought some Bitcoin. Never made a huge money off of Bitcoin, but that something got me interested, and then I started working. I dropped out of college and I started working. I came back to Korea from the US, and then I started working at Bitcoin exchange called CoinPlug. Now they're known for like huge, like a patent portfolio. And then I moved to China, and I started working at a company called Fimbusha Capital, which is like one of the early blockchain VC in Asia. I think it was the first one. There I worked at as an analyst. So I missed a lot of opportunities like BitMEX or what else, like Consensus, all these people, they at that time people were trying to raise money, and then now they're $1 billion. Multi-billion-dollar companies. We all missed that opportunity. Oh shit! and I got a job at R3, which is the blockchain consortium, like banking consortium. And I worked as a business development in Korea. Onboarded all the banks in Korea, and then I moved to I had to hire like a senior person. So after I hired my boss, I mean the R3 hires my boss. I had to move to the project level, so I got to work with like central bank or commercial banks on the permission ledger project. So I started in Korea. I started a startup, and one of the startup is Deconomy. But I think I followed sort of like every trend that people talk about throughout the years, like 2012, 13, everybody was talking about Bitcoin, and then like altcoins came in. So everybody's talking about like Darkcoin, Ripples and stuff like that. So I was following, I never led any sort of, I never really thought it to myself, like which is logical, which makes sense or not. I just follow sort of the trend, like technical trend, like Colorcoin, Metacoin, ICO, you know, like DAO, all these people, all these terms that jargons that people create, I sort of follow that. And then the permission ledger came in, like Corda or Hyperledger or, you know, that kind of stuff came in. I thought there was a future. So I went to work with permission ledger company R3. And then I sort of came back to where it was. I think I would say that I experienced a lot of them, a lot of trends and this sort of hype that people talk.
Yeah.
But I also witnessed that how a lot of them are just don't make sense or you know, it was just a hype, right?
Yeah.
And then I came back to sort of just doing a conference, I guess.
Yeah. And some others. Yeah, well, your experience is so wide and varied in this space that I think it kind of makes you, you know, unique that I was thinking earlier when we were talking and kind of chatting over messaging, like how does this guy, you know, help create one of the world's biggest, you know, crypto conferences? The two didn't seem to jive. And then now, as you explain it, I mean, you've been through everything. I mean, you've seen the entire cycle, both from, you know, being a hobbyist or an enthusiast to the technical side, to the business side. So that's now it makes perfect sense. So how do you stumble on? So Deconomy is a, you know, again, a world famous conference now, or gathering, however you want to phrase it. How does Deconomy come about last year? How does that even take shape?
So it was a really small project. I mean, we wanted to bring like interesting people. I think that's actually a very important key component when you run a conference. Like, you have to bring interesting people, regardless of how popular or reputable they are. So I wanted to just bring my friends, like friends or someone that I like or I research. I didn't really care about like title or social reputation or anything like that. I just wanted to bring interesting people, and it sort of grew as we prepared how big it could be. And a lot of things that so I hate conferences. I hate going to conferences. I never learn anything from conference.
Exactly.
Which is the whole point of a conference, right? It's just 99% of the conference are just sales conference. They go up there and talk about their product, how great they are, their growth chart and everything. Why do you even pay money to go and listen to someone bragging their company or knowledge, right?
That's so important, because it always gets me as to why people plunk down, in some cases, thousands of dollars to go to these conferences.
Yeah.
Just they're paying for a giant info. Basically, they're paying to, you know, be advertised to. So yeah, no, you hit it right on the head. So you know, that also makes sense as to why I think that first Deconomy was very successful. Some of the people you got there were pretty big. Now I think I told you when we were talking before we started taping here, last year around this time, give or take, the market was, I mean, it was definitely, you know, obviously coming down relative to where it had been late 2017. But Bitcoin Core, BTC, was still at about $9,000. So there was still some talk, you know, there was massive fluctuation, but it, you know, there was still a lot of kind of hype around the idea. And you were able to get, like you say, some pretty interesting people
I remember, well, Vitalik Buterin of Ethereum was there, Craig Wright of Enchain. You had Roger Ver of Bitcoin.com, Samson Mao. This is just a small part of who you got. How hard was it to get these guys?
Oh, it was pretty, it wasn't that hard, actually. I mean, the reason why conferences suck at conferences is because they don't know how to bring people. So I think this chat is going to turn out to be like, you know, how to run conference or something. So what I figured is that you have to, so speakers, especially crypto speakers, right? Cryptocurrency, people, they made a lot of money. They have a lot of money in their pocket. So no one is motivated by the money or incentive from the conference to speak at conference. So we never paid a dime to speaker last year. So how do you, like, why do even speakers come to our conference?
Yeah.
So the reason they come to conference is to meet other speakers. That's the only reason, right? Nobody's has this desire to sort of be seen in the public and have this, you know, overcome the fear to speak on the public and then to look good. That kind of desire doesn't exist in really reputable people. The only reason why these speakers go is because they can hang out with other speakers. So
that's interesting.
So the key point is that you got to bring interesting people in order to bring more interesting people.
Who was the first, like, kind of big name that you were able to snag for Deconomy, and then that, you know, maybe led to other big names? Who was the first that sort of jumped out to you and said, okay, yeah,
I think the biggest contribution was Davey Chong. So Davey Chong, he's like, he tried to invent Bitcoin, right? I mean, he Digicash, eCash, that was predecessor of Bitcoin. And he's sort of not in public anymore. He doesn't go to a conference and speak. He just sort of disappeared. So I researched his phone, his email, and then he replied. And then I had a 2-hour call about what we're trying to do, why it's important to emphasize the people who laid the foundation for this whole cryptocurrency industry. People need to learn. It's not necessary, but people, it's really fun to learn about pre-Bitcoin era and the history behind it. So David Chow didn't even talk about like blockchain or cryptocurrency. He just talked about the history of, you know, digital money, right? How banks reacted and how it all started, like, you know, that kind of stuff was intriguing to me. And then I knew that maybe the public doesn't know much about him, and it's just a really, really good key component is that you don't really have to worry about the audience, right? You don't have to worry about whether or not the audience know this person, because speakers recognize each other. So if you bring David Chong, I knew definitely that other speakers might be interested in meeting him, because no one can meet him. Now he's into the blockchain and he goes around to the conferences a lot.
Wow, but what a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Yeah, back then he was very, very non-public person. So it's really important to bring that sort of key figure. So I think this year I would say it's Phil Zimmerman, which is the creator of PGP.
Right, right. Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So David Chow becomes the sort of the link, and then you're able to kind of reach out to other people who may have maybe at first or maybe not taking you all that seriously and say, hey, I've got this guy. He's going to be there. You know, it'd be great if you were the, you know, sort of thing. And so does it just kind of steamroll? Does it just kind of go downhill? Uphill from there or whatever, however you want to, whatever the metaphor is. Do people just start saying, oh yeah, because so-and-so is there, you start to notice that everybody now wants to be a part of it?
I mean, there are a lot of strategies and work behind the scene, but I guess that's fundamentally that is it. But you need to identify like who knows what there's. So this is what I struggle at the conferences, right? Because conferences or conference organizers, maybe the founder of the conference knows the industry well, but they don't work, right? They tell their minion to work on organizing and inviting people, right? Uh-huh. So these people may not have a deep experience or know the context of the industry, like who's talking what and that kind of stuff. That's why like people who really know and have been following the industry needs to directly be involved and invite people. So a lot of them just are invited based on their title. So if you invite people just because he's C-level, like, and he may not know, he or she may not have subject matter expertise. The C-levels know how to manage the company or the project or not, but they may not have a specific subject matter expertise on the certain topic. So like if I want to have a panel on the topic of identity, right, then I need to know who actually knows about identity, over the C-level of a identity startup, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I don't care about the audience. Audience don't really have to know who this person is, but the speakers have to recognize each other based on their subject matter expertise. So like I'm sure 99% of Korean people who came to the economy last year had no idea who Ian Grape was.
Right.
He's the pioneer of triple entry accounting and, you know, recording and contract, all this, you know, background didn't really mean anything to the audience, but a lot of speakers knew Ian Grape and it would be good to hang out with him, have a drink or talk about, you know, all kinds of stuff. Right. So yeah, it's just got to bring a real subject matter experts together. They hang out.
Yeah. And it's interesting because looking back at that first economy, I believe it probably was the last time that Roger Ver of Bitcoin.com and Samson Mao of Blockstream ever appeared together publicly on stage. And it became and you actually moderated that, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That became for a lot of reasons, not only for what happened on stage, but also what happened through the actual audience Q&A. Going back to Roger and Samson's panel or I should say discussion or debate that you moderated there, I think that goes to the heart of what you're saying. So obviously Roger's is fairly well known, especially in Asia, and Samson as well. But they're also, whether you agree with one or the other, or you know wherever you sort of sit on that debate at the time, those two really do know what they're talking about. I mean, they are deep, deep experts in their field. What was it like being on stage with them and getting them together?
I mean, Samson and Roger, you know, they've been talking cats and dogs for a long time on Twitter, right? So it was really fun. I mean, it initially started with like 2-versus-2 debate. So Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin Cash, that kind of debate. But the other two sort of at the last minute it dropped off. So it had to be just 1-on-1. It's just that I love how conferences, there has to be some sort of conflict. Otherwise, it's not fun.
Totally.
So every topic that we covered last year and also this year, like if we don't find anyone that is sort of can sort of object that, you know, to opinion and actually counter argue some of the parts, like that's just not fun if that doesn't happen, right?
That's totally boring, and you're just being sold to. So it was great. I think a lot of the then Bitcoin Cash community thought that Roger did very well, and a lot of the Bitcoin Core community thought that Samson did very well. I think you managed to kind of please both sides and at the same time agitate them, get them talking. It became very memeable, and we got to see their personalities, both in terms of how they handled themselves publicly, the rhetoric, the actual debate tactics. It was I found it fascinating, and it was a genius move. was there as much tension on stage as it appears from the video? Like it seemed like these guys really do not like each other.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They do not like each other. A lot of sarcasm, a lot of name calling and stuff like that, and it's hilarious. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the you know, Samson and Roger. Besides them, like Vitaly calling Craig Wright a fraud, that was just a blessing for me. Right, more conflict, more fun stuff, better.
That was incredible. So you obviously didn't anticipate that, right? So
no.
He was in the audience. So Vitalik Buterin, the co-founder of Ethereum and Wunderkin, and sort of this, everybody thinks he's a genius. And he has, I think up until then, at least, a very non-confrontational.
Hey, Crypto Savages, this is C. Edward Kelso breaking in with a quick and very shameless plug. CoinSpice.io is a feisty pirate ship. We depend, rely on almost entirely organic growth, which means our audience really does the marketing for us, and there's nothing more powerful than word of mouth. If you read an article you like on CoinSpice.io, if you listen to a podcast and you enjoy the content, or if you're just pissed, please promote us on social media, wherever you're at, wherever that is, whether it's Reddit, whether it's YouTube, the Telegram, you know, you name it, the Twitter, like us, retweet, all that great stuff. You can always find detailed show notes for every podcast on the corresponding page at coinspice.io. There you'll find links to our respective podcast, your favorite platform like iTunes. Please give us a rating. Please give us a subscribe. You know all that good stuff. It helps the pirate ship remain afloat. It keeps us going. We appreciate it. As always, you can contact me personally if you have questions, concerns, you want to hear from a particular guest, you have a news tip, at Kelso, K-E-L-S as in Sam, O, at coinspice.io. Thanks again for listening. We sure do appreciate it. And back to the episode.
Reputation. He is considered, you know, kind of above it in some sense.
Yeah.
And then as it's going, it's in the Q&A, and I guess Craig Wright had made some statements prior, had made, you know, some things that triggered Vitalik, and I'll let you take it from there. What actually happened?
Yeah, I mean, Craig Wright wasn't even on the stage, right? So Craig Wright spoke, and right after that, the Samson and Roger had a debate, and during the debate, at the last minute of the debate, I asked questions. I mean, I asked a volunteer to ask questions, and Vitalik didn't ask questions to Samson and Roger. He asked directly to Craig Wright, which was right before the debate. So, I mean, it was hilarious. Like, you know, Joseph Poon said, you know, I wrote the white paper of Lightning. I have no idea what you're talking about. negative gamma thing, you know, somebody wrote
right.
On why like negative gamma exists and why negative gamma is a bullshit. Like it sort of triggered the whole I mean, it was a blessing for us because it's such a big exposure for the economy. And if you really notice, like if you follow Vitalik, he's not that confrontational, but he drops like bomb. Like occasionally, right? Like he makes a statement that is just that causes audience to go just like, oh my goodness, that's a burn, right? So he's really good at that. That's what I'm expecting. Vitalik and Nuri Rubini debate, that he would do the same. Like, you know, he would drop some really burning bomb.
Oh, I'm looking so forward to that, which we're definitely gonna get to. But then, so Vitalik stands up, and it just seemed totally, I mean, I don't know the guy. I just know him from flickering images on the web, but he stands up and he quite clearly is agitated. It's sort of the I'm going to be silly and call him a geek, but kind of a nerd way of, like, if he was drunk and ripped off his shirt and said, "Let's go, bro, let's fight." Sort of, he doesn't do that, but it's sort of the nerd equivalent of that. and he stands up.
Yeah.
This man's a fraud, and I can't believe he's invited to conference. Everybody's letting him speak. I couldn't see if he was shaking because the video from one of the conference goers was a little kind of grainy or whatever. But he was not happy, and standing up and going after him, and the audience immediately splits. Right, some are clapping and cheering, and others are getting mad. Was like, did anybody say anything to you? Did anybody blame you for that?
No, like everybody just came up to me and say, "Hey, I'm sorry about the incident." You know, thinking that Vitaly calling Craig fraud is a bad thing to me. But no, it wasn't. It was just really fun. I mean, the whole point of conference is just to have fun, right? Like, I don't want to make it like, you know, like so too serious or professional. You know, like, I mean, it's a crypto. Like, you gotta have some fun there. So, a lot of people came up to me and said it was a bad thing. But I never really thought of it as a bad thing. I mean, it kind of is a socially like an insult because I invited a specific person and this guy is saying that this fraud shouldn't be invited. But I mean, I totally understand where it's coming from, and I sort of invited Craig because it would be fun, right? Like, not because like
not necessarily that you endorse him. It's just he is a significant personality, especially back then. In the space, and he's relevant. You know, you're going to leave it for your audience and your conference goers to make the ultimate decision. You're not going to make it for them. You're just going to say, hey, you're telling me this guy is irrelevant? Like, obviously he's, you know, he plays a part, whether you like it or not, he plays a role. So now here's your chance to talk to him. And it came from Vitalik Buterin of all people. Yeah. So that was hilarious. And I think a turning point for a lot of people in the space who maybe were kind of sitting on the sidelines and they didn't want to say much, or they had some kind of misgivings towards Wright, and Vitalik kind of gave them permission to maybe speak a little freely on their just on the basis of his reputation. So I think it did a lot of good, even if it was considered somewhat rude. But that's, again, like you say, sort of the point of having this open dialogue. So that was at a go ahead.
Best thing. That's the best thing that could ever happen to me.
And that was at a hotel last year. And there's much, much more that went on. I'm reducing it down to this, you know, this one little battle and scene. But there's a ton of stuff that happened. But that was at a hotel last year when the market relatively was booming compared to what it is now, I guess. And you can take that either way. Now this year, which we're only, you know, and by the way, another reason that I'm appreciative of you coming on is I know you have to be swamped right now. So you're just maybe a week or two away from your second conference, and you've moved from a hotel now to a sports arena. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like a sports stadium. It's a dome.
Holy crap.
I mean, it's that place is used for like concert, like a rock band concert, something like that. It's not as big as what people would anticipate, but it's a lot bigger than the last hotel.
Yeah, and so who are some of the guests? We'll get to Nouriel and Vitalik in just a second, but there are some giant names coming, some really interesting people. Coming to your 2019, who do you have this year?
Yeah, so Andreas Antonopoulos, he's coming. Vitalik Buterin, Nouriel Roubini, Phil Zimmerman, and Richard Gendron Brown from R3, Jeffrey Tucker, he's an Austrian economist, Joseph Lubin, like CZ from Binance, Zuko Wilcox from Zcash, Tim Swanson, Stanley, you know, like, yeah, so all these people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a group of some heavy hitters. And this is going to be in South Korea again. How's the mood there? Are you expecting it to be as, I mean, obviously you're going to a bigger place now. has the bear market changed how you approached anything this
year? Yeah, definitely. Everything has changed. So last year it was still like parties, right? People go to parties, they pay a lot of money on sponsorship. So it is true that the market has changed, and especially the reason why a lot of foreign companies they come to Korea is because Korea was known for like huge retail trading market, right? Now nobody's trading, so the retail market sort of went down. But still, I mean, I believe that it's not about like how you market conference or how you know, all kinds of additional stuff, like doesn't really matter as long as you bring like interesting people. I know other conferences like in Hong Kong or Singapore, in the US even, like massively failed. I know some of them went to bankrupt, and I know like nobody came, so they had to give away free tickets and stuff. But I think we're not like that at the current status of the ticket sales and you know, that kind of stuff. I think we're fine. I think we're gonna have we sold more tickets than last year for sure.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, that's a good news. But it's just the venue is bigger, so.
Oh, right. <Yeah. laughs> So now you have to kind of keep up with that pace. South Korea this time last year, and really in that 2017 run up. I mean, this is definitely arguable. This is a debate point, but it's certainly my opinion that South Korea and the crypto community there, I would say, played the biggest role in enthusiasm for crypto. So I think when the market turned and their enthusiasm waned, I think that also was a giant contributor to sort of that, the animal spirits, you know, everybody kind of moving away from the market. Is there still like some, you know, say beyond speculation, beyond just the trading markets, what's the mood in South Korea generally, kind of about crypto, like whether it's blockchain, enterprise side, the technology, or just even using as peer-to-peer cash? What's the general sentiment there?
I mean, I know a lot of people give like a lot of credit on Korea and how it's IT, it's strong in internet technology, you know, it's fast growing economy, and you know, crypto is big here or not. But if you notice, like the economy never really covered what Korean people wanted to hear, right? We strictly prohibited like ICOs, or we never allow speakers to talk about their project. Even they have to talk about the things that they know. We never really sort of satisfy what consumers or audience wanted, like, which is basically how do they get rich quick, or how do I buy Lambos and stuff. So I think that's the reason why a lot of conferences fail, because if the market goes down, then they go down as well. But there's still people in Korea or all the world that would like to hear, after, you know, crashing down the market, they're still want to hear about these thoughts and you know, discussions that these people make regardless of the market. I mean, what are you gonna tell if you did an ICO and then you lost? I mean, your coin value went down like 99%. What are you gonna talk to at the conference?
Years out of sale.
Nothing. Yeah, you have absolutely nothing to talk about. So, like Andreas Antonopoulos, I would love to hear what he's talking about. Vitalik Buterin, Noe Robini, Phil Zimmerman, like what are you, I'm genuinely curious about what they're about to say, not this sort of pump and dump, self-called senior manager, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and it keeps your content evergreen. And I would say the economy in just a short period of time, and we'll see how this second one goes. I have very high hopes for it as well. But in a short amount of time, has kind of become a historical document. I mean, I was telling you in messaging that as I was looking back, I'd forgotten what a giant, I mean, a really big role the economy played in kind of the culture of the space, just with the, you know, 4 or 5 day conference, really kind of it changed the landscape. It changed how people looked at things. You know, there were new camps, new tribes. You guys had an enormous impact. This year, I want to focus, this is going to seem like the Vitalik Buterin show, but I want to focus in on one, I think on purpose, now knowing kind of your strategy a little bit better, on purpose pairing that you alluded to earlier, which is you're actually having a debate between Nouriel Roubini, who's known as Dr. Doom, kind of the economist, and Vitalik Buterin of Ethereum. Why those two? And I mean, I'm assuming my guys know, my listeners know a little bit more about Vitalik than they do Nouriel. But why did you pair those two?
Well, I just can't believe how it happened. Like, you know, they had a debate. I mean, not a debate. They had some conflict on Twitter. I mean, it all started with Twitter, right? Twitter is the, it's the house of fun. So I think it started. I'm not sure exactly, but I think it started with Vitalik saying, you know, I officially predict like financial crisis from, you know, from now to like 2020 something. Not because I know anything about like economics or you know, that, like kind of like that, but because he wants to acclaim that he's like a Dr. Doom, or you know,
right, that he called it, which is Nouriel Roubini's claim to fame, right? That he's
exactly going to be a exactly
you know, at some point, and there or a downturn, and then there was, and then he said, oh, "See, I called it."
Yeah, so he's pretty like he's. I'm not sure. Is it directly mocking Dr. Roubini, but it seems like Roubini got offended or something, and then they had some conflict on Twitter, like you know, you are like North Korea, like you're worse than Kim Jong Un from North Korea in terms of like centralizing, you know, monopoly, you know, dictating the protocol and that kind of stuff. So one, I think Roubini or Vitalik said on Twitter that, you know, we should debate or something, or someone else said it that there should be debate, and then Vitalik said, "Why not?" Then I managed that. I talked to both parties, and you know, here you go, like it happens.
Boom, yeah, that's going to be a genius debate. Is there? So let's kind of tell people where they can follow all this stuff. How do they find out more about the economy? How do they find out more about your work? Where can people kind of follow up on this?
I mean, theeconomy.com is the official website. So we can go to theeconomy.com, to see who's joining, and, you know, the agenda is theeconomy.com/agenda. Yeah. And we're not going to live stream, but we're going to post all the video on the YouTube. So, yeah,
very cool. So yeah, those become those, like I say, you know, the economy gathering now has a reputation of you know, documenting history at this point and where we are, and you know, people are talking about it. Go ahead.
You're totally right. I mean, that's what I really want to do. The conferences should be about, you know, sharing knowledge and stuff like that. That's obvious, right? But I, because we're doing it annually, I mean, a lot of conferences, they do multinational, like international, like 4 times
yeah.
a year,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. It's just a sales conference, right? So I wanted to have sort of leave a mark that this year this happened, and you know, 2 years ago this happened. Because like last year, all, you know, the biggest debate was Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin Cash, right?
Yeah.
And it happened this year. I'm not sure exactly what's the major topic, but conferences should be like that. Oh, you know, what happened in 2017? Let's go to YouTube, that a conference account that happened that year. So let's find out what people talked about. Like that's really important for me.
Yeah, and you've done it. I think this year, if I can be so bold here, is I think the theme, at least from the Vitalik and Rubini debate, is going to be the, you know, Vitalik's in his mid-20s, Rubini is not. Rubini comes from sort of the older school of established finance. He's obviously a great critic of some of it, but that's the school he understands, of fiat money, of paper, of let's go through central banks, let's have massive regulation. Vitalik comes out of the cypherpunk tradition. He doesn't even have a college degree, even though he has an honorary doctorate. Rubini, of course, loves to call him, he is Dr. Rubini, after all. And that's very important. That gives him cachet. There is a giant clash of worlds and worldviews and generations will be sitting on that stage. So I think you guys are going to make history again. Thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Everybody check out Deconomy.com. Jeff, are you on, you're obviously on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. We'll link to all of that in the show notes. If you can get out to Korea, when is the event this year?
April 4-5.
All right, so it's coming up. It's days away.
Yeah,
like it's get out there, see it. This is the place where you can literally see crypto history, financial history, being made, and right. You're not going to be shilled to. You're going to walk away learning something. You may see Vitalik Buterin just lose his mind on stage, tear his shirt, and jump on Rubin. No, I'm joking, of course. It should be a really fascinating time. So thanks again for coming on. I'm rooting for you guys, and best of luck.
All right. Thank you.